We move ahead to what to do when we have anxiety. Are we there yet? No. It's getting quite long. I again want to thank Roy for all his hard work in making these slides pretty. Trust me, what I give him is not pretty, but it turns out pretty thanks to his hard work. What to do when we have anxiety. This is the toughest one I've ever done because anxiety is really more of an emotion, if you will. So it's more about what to do, how we should respond to it. Just like anger is an emotion, right? The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. We can't control our emotions. They are part of how God made us. So that made this a bit tougher, but that's okay. We got there in the end, and what matters is what the scriptures have to say about it, which is what we'll be focusing on today. So the most important passage for this this element of the Christian walk would be the Matthew chapter 6 passage. I might have put these in the wrong order. Anyway, let's go to Matthew 6. I'll ask Mr. Scott to read verses 25 to 34, and then we will pray. But this is the key passage for this thing.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will loathe one to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life that ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, for ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. So we'll talk more about it, but this phrase, take no thought, taking thought, take ye thought, take no thought, and so forth. That Greek word is the exact same Greek word as Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, which says, be careful for nothing. And the usage of the word careful there is what we today would call anxious, is how it's used. So that's the same Greek word, which we'll talk about. But that's our key passage today. But first, let's pray, and then we'll dive into the non-biblical responses and the biblical responses. Lord, we are so grateful that we have your word to guide us and to teach us and to help us through the trials of life. Lord, teach us today through your word in this matter of anxiety. Lord, may we learn to control our responses with the help of God's Holy Spirit and the word of God. So guide us in your truth today and teach us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have two non-biblical responses, if you will, and then one, just basically one biblical response, which we saw in Matthew 6:33. But let's start with the non-biblical one, and that is to withdraw or to have wrong thinking. Now, anxiety and fear are very heavily connected, as we will see, but to withdraw or to think contrary to what God teaches us in His Word. Obviously, it is not God's will for our lives that we withdraw, but that is how we our flesh wants to respond, isn't it? When we have anxiety, it's to back away from others or back away from service or whatever it might be. And actually, one of the best solutions is to do the opposite. That's true in the Christian life in general, isn't it? Is the best way to grow is to serve others. And the best way to get over anxiety is to serve others, as we'll see. But anyway, let's look at some scriptures on this. So in Psalm 125, verse 1, it says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." So what we find is, as we look in the scriptures, is anxiety is basically the opposite of trust. That if we will trust, God says we cannot be removed. But the problem with anxiety is the battle's in our mind, isn't it? And that is where the devil comes after us, is in our mind. And notice, if you could read 2 Corinthians 10:5, it talks about this battle that we have with the devil for our thought life.
"Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ."
So notice we're to cast down imaginations, we're to bring every thought into captivity. How do we do that? Well, unsaved can't do it, can they? But the unsaved don't have the Holy Spirit living within them. And with God's help, we can put our thoughts under control. Otherwise, why would God command us what to think about in Philippians 4:8, right? Think on these things. If it's a command to think on the right things, it obviously means it's possible with God's help. But anxiety is wrong thinking about our circumstances or about the outcome of our upcoming circumstances, essentially fear, as we'll see. And it's been around a long time. Look at Joshua 1:9, if you would, Brother Brent, if you could read that. I know most of you probably know this verse by heart. It's a great verse, Joshua 1:9. And this was the charge given to Joshua when he was taking the children of Israel into the promised land. They're finally going in, and this was one of his charges. So we know what afraid means, but it says, neither be thou dismayed. What does the word dismayed mean? Well, if you look it up, it means to be, as it says over here in the yellow, to be shattered or to be broken. That's kind of the definition of dismayed in the Hebrew. And so what Moses is charging Joshua, he says, you're about to lead these millions of people into the promised land. A daunting task for anyone, right? He says, don't be afraid, but also don't be dismayed. Don't have anxiety over it. Don't be shattered. Don't be broken down about it. God's with you. So you have nothing to fear, and you have nothing that's coming that should allow you to get dismayed. Don't be dismayed. Why? The Lord thy God is with thee. God is with you. And that is the most beautiful promise in this matter of anxiety, is God is always with us. It's just the devil comes after our thought life, doesn't he? And says, no, God isn't with you. And then it generates all these emotions and ultimately results in fear. But God says that withdrawal is never the answer. So Hebrews 10:25, we're all familiar with it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. God says, you need to keep assembling with your brothers and sisters in Christ no matter what. Even if you have fear, even if you have anxiety, God never gives an exception, does he, to assembling. He also never gives an exception to serving. He says, keep serving. 1 Corinthians 15:58, I know most of us know this, but what? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? Work of the Lord. Unmovable, abounding in the work. So anxiety drives us to want to back away from service. Anxiety drives us to want to back away from assembling with our brothers and sisters. Actually, the best thing we can do is what our flesh is telling us not to do, and that is to serve and to keep assembling with your brothers and sisters, because God designed us that way, that that's what's best for our spiritual walk. And so the first thing that we see there is we don't back away, and we combat the wrong thinking, say, oh, that's impossible. It isn't, with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not trying to minimize anxiety. It's a big deal. But this is what the Scriptures are telling us, what we should do or not do. And then the other thing is fear. Anxiety always leads to fear. If it isn't fear itself, it leads to fear. Fear of what? Well, this is, you know, anybody that has a phobia, and maybe some of you do, what is a phobia? Anybody? Yes, Beth?
A fear of something like spiders or things like that.
Is it a rational fear or an irrational fear?
Irrational.
It's irrational, isn't it? Maybe of heights, maybe of flying, maybe of spiders, maybe of whatever. Water. That one might not be irrational, but anyway. It's and where does it come from? It comes from within, doesn't it? It comes from our thought life. And we, using our thought life, can make it worse than it is. And people can actually get, you know, paralyzed. They can't even move with fear, with a phobia. But God says that we're His children now, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And one of the most common commands in the Scripture is to fear not. Isn't that interesting? I could put up there. We're told over 100 times in the Bible not to fear, or to fear not, or be not afraid. If you look at all the different ways that can be worded, it shows up over 100 times in the Scriptures where we're told, don't fear, don't be afraid. We just read one of them in Joshua 1:9, didn't we? And it shows up over and over. New Testament, Old Testament, don't fear. That's what anxiety uses against us, isn't it? It's fear. Fear of what? Well, it can be a whole list of things, can't it? So, to fear is to not trust. David explained this in Psalm 56. Philip, if you could read that for us, 3 and 4. So David said, what time I am afraid. So does it hit us sometimes, despite the fact that we're God's children and we're trying to walk in the Spirit and so forth? Do things happen in our life that make us afraid? Of course they do. And David is saying, what time I am afraid, what am I going to do? I'm going to trust in the Lord. Amen. Whenever it happens, whenever it comes upon me out of nowhere, this fear, what am I going to do? I'm going to trust God. And then what does he say? In God I will praise His word, in God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. What's the worst thing that flesh can do to us? Anybody? Philip? Kill us. You can't do any worse than that, right? Because you're gone. If somebody kills us, we're dead. But if they do kill us, we're God's children. What happens? Howard?
We go to heaven.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Howardette. We go to heaven, amen? That's the worst thing that flesh can do to us. And David said, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. The worst thing that flesh can do unto me is kill me and send me to heaven. That's the worst thing they can do. And so David says, I will not fear. Proverbs 29:25. Roy, if you could read that one for us. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You think the devil's not trying to snare us with fear? Of course he is, all the time. And the fear of man bringeth a snare. But what's the contrast? Whoso putteth his trust. And so we have to come to this realization that fear and trust cannot cohabitate for a Christian. That if we are trusting the Lord, we are not fearing. If we're fearing, we're not trusting the Lord. The two do not cohabitate. Even in the New Testament, 2 Timothy. Brandon, if you could read that for us. 2 Timothy 1, 7. So when we have the spirit of fear, God says it didn't come from me. Amen? The spirit of fear does not come from the Holy Spirit. It does not come from God. So it's obviously another spirit that's giving us fear. But a power and of love and of a... What are those last two words? Sound mind. There's that connection again between fear and our thoughts. Because that's what the devil uses against us with fear, isn't it? It's our thought life. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of this. The devil feeds that. Paul says, no. That didn't come from God. But if we trust God, we're going to have a sound mind. So the second non-biblical response, and this, I'm not saying this is easy, is fear, which is the opposite of trust. When the disciples were told to get into the boat, and remember they were rowing, and then the big storm came, and Jesus then came upon them. Look what he says. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? This is Matthew 8:26. What's wrong with you guys? What are you afraid of? And he equates fear with lack of faith, doesn't he? And then, of course, then he arose and calmed the sea. But he came to them and he said, why are you fearful? He was essentially rebuking them for being afraid. Because they were now his. Amen? And he's already promised he's going to take care of them and watch over them. And so he says, you guys need to trust me more, O ye of little faith. I'm not going to let you drown. I'm not going to let this storm hurt you. Why are you fearful? What's wrong? And then 1 John 4:18, beautiful verse. Mr. Zeus, could you read that for us?
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Torment. That's a pretty powerful word, isn't it? God says in his word that fear hath torment. And that's where we get the anxiety, isn't it? We're tormented by the fear, whatever that might be. But God says perfect love, and that this is one of the love chapters, 1 John 3 and 1 John 4, are all about love. Our love for one another, our love for God, God's love for us. Those are the love chapters. Verse 8, God is love, 1 John 4:8. Anyway, he says, perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. So not only can trust and fear not cohabitate, neither can love and fear. And when I say love there, I mean God's love for us and our love for God. He's saying if we know God loves us and we love God, he's saying, there's no room for fear when those two things are true in our minds. And so we have the two, the non-biblical responses, which just leads to us being unhappy, leads us to be ungrateful. And a lot of people even can lead to suicide, which is horrible. But it does happen even today, doesn't it? And ultimately, since we aren't trusting God, and God wants us to trust him and commands us to trust him, and he commands us to not fear, it's ultimately going to lead to God then working in our lives, trying to bring us back to him. And then we'll have to learn a new lesson, won't we? So withdrawal with wrong thinking and fear are not the way God wants us to respond. Because like I said, it's going to lead to the wrong thing. This very well-known passage of Philippians 4, there's a phrase there that we often just kind of brush over, and that phrase is with thanksgiving. Amen? So it says, be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, and so forth. But if we're not giving it all to Him, if instead we're stressing over things, we have fear, and it's crippling us and controlling us, we're definitely not grateful, are we? And yet we're commanded to be grateful for everything, even the trials. So those two, again, you can't have one without the other. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:20, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, look at those last three words, happy is he. The Bible actually has a lot to say about happiness, mostly in Proverbs. But he says one of the things that leads to happiness, and let's face it, the world's looking for that one thing and just can't find it. They try to find it in sin or in money or in power or whatever. God says if we'll trust in Him, we'll find happiness. Amen? Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Anxiety is the opposite of happiness, isn't it? We're very unhappy when we have anxiety. So, that's the non-biblical, to have wrong thinking, to withdraw into fear. And sometimes it's an irrational fear, sometimes it's a rational fear, but either way, fear is not trusting. Trusting is not fear. Love is not trusting, and trusting isn't love. So that leads us to the biblical response. And Brother Scott read the key passage of Matthew 6. What's Jesus really trying to teach us in this passage that Jim read? Anybody? What do you think? What is the main lesson that he's trying to get across in this passage of Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34? Thoughts? There's no wrong answer. Anybody? What is the main focus? Okay. That's definitely a part of it, isn't it? We aren't in control. What else?
Lean on Him.
Okay. Very true. But what else?
Believe in Him.
Yep. Believe in Him. So knowing that in this passage, he's used that same Greek word 5 times. Okay. Take no thought. Taking thought. Take ye thought. Therefore take no thought. Take therefore no thought. What does that mean? Take no thought. It means don't stress. Amen. Don't stress about your clothing, don't stress about your food, don't stress about anything. Instead, what? Our song, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these, what, things that you stress over, God will take care of them. That's what He says. He says, your job is to put me first. If you will do that, I'll take care of all these other things that you're stressing about. So don't stress about them. Put me first. Seek me first. Seek my righteousness first. And I'll take care of the rest. And then he uses the birds and the flowers. In other words, God is God and knows everything, is in control of everything. To say, I know exactly what's going on with every aspect of my creation. Especially my children. I know everything that's happening in their lives and why I've allowed it. Therefore, take no thought. Don't stress. Trust me. Put me first. Seek me first. And I'll take care of the rest. And there are other statements in the scriptures that say similar. I already read Proverbs 16:20. Job 13:5. Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace. And it should be your wisdom. These were his friends. Just hold your peace, guys. Stop attacking me. And then it's Luke 22:34. Kelvin, could you read that for us? Is it?
It is, sorry.
21:34.
Be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and
So what do you think Jesus means when he says overcharged? It's, by the way, I looked it up. It's only in the New Testament one time. One time, that Greek word. What do you think Jesus means? Especially this matter, the cares of this life. Take heed that you not be overcharged with the cares of this life. What do you think Jesus is saying there when he uses that word overcharged? Okay. Overwhelmed, burdened down, obsessed, right? That's all you think about. That's your focus. You're overcharged. Jesus says, don't do it. Don't be overcharged. Don't let my return catch you unaware. Instead, Matthew 6, put me first, seek me first, serve me, and I'll take care of the rest. Don't be overcharged with the cares of this life. And then, where are we here? So that is it's our choice. We can fear, we can withdraw, we can think wrong, or we can stop and say, you know what, God loves me, I'm his child, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to give it to him. And if we'll give it to him, what does he promise? He promises peace, amen? And this is not talking about peace with God, which happens at salvation. It's talking about the inner peace that he promises, which comes from the Holy Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. He promises that. He's just telling us, number two, to pray and cast. Pray and cast. What do you think it means to cast? He tells us at least twice in the scriptures to cast all our cares in Philippians 4:7. Psalm 55:22, cast all your burdens. What do you think he means when he says cast? I mean, I'm a fisherman, I know what it means. Well, what do you think it means to cast? Yes, Hedapia? Good on you. Chuck it out. Anybody else? So if you cast it out there, Beryl, yeah? Exactly. If you cast something, say you cast a bowl to your friend, you don't have it anymore, do you? You just cast it to someone else. That's exactly what it's saying. Give it to me. I have big shoulders. Cast it onto me. But what do? We say, oh, Lord, let me have that back. Thank you. Okay, I need to cast. Oh, let me have that back. We do that all the time, don't we? Yeah, I know you're powerful and you can do anything and you love me, but yeah, give me that back. God says, no, cast it, right? Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. How many requests? Everything. And then Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast it. 1 Peter 5:7. What a beautiful verse. Casting. Casting what? All your care. You know that verse, care, is the same verse. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Cast all those cares. Cast all your care. Not just some. All of it upon the Lord, for he careth for you. So pray and cast. You might have to keep casting because we're weak. Amen. And then I love Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and he delivereth them out of all their troubles. Sometimes we just need to cry to God and say, Lord, I'm trying my best to cast this upon you. And I know I keep taking it back, but you promise you take care of me. You promise you deliver me out of my troubles. Help me to quit taking it back. Help me to cast it. And as it says in Philippians 4:6, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. No exceptions. Give it all to God. Amen. And what does he promise us? Peace. So Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. What did Jesus say in John 14:27? Peace I leave with you, my peace. I'm going to preach on this morning. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because I am going to give you this peace that nobody can understand. And there's another verse hiding down there. How did that happen?
Proverbs 30:5.
Thank you, brother. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Nathan, could you read that for us? And then I think that's our last scripture.
Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him.
He's a shield. Isn't that good? That if we'll put our trust in the Lord, He becomes our shield. And we need a shield, don't we? Because those fiery darts of the wicked never stop. Pray and cast. God promises peace. Acknowledge that God's in control and we aren't. And that we're to take no thought for anything. We're to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we'll do that, and if we'll pray and cast, God promises peace. And we'll be back to gratitude as well. We'll be thankful. So thoughts or questions? I think that's all.